Have you ever felt like you were on, have you ever felt like you were in love online? The person said all the right things. They sent you pictures and they made you feel really engaged, only to realize they weren't real after sending them over $150,000 and nothing in return. Brothers and sisters, this is what happened to this caller on the Dave Ramsey Show. His son is calling in to ask the show, what can he do after his 70 plus year old father gave away his life savings? Now he's struggling, living pension check to pension check. And get this, he still doesn't believe that he was scammed. Typically, we talk about women whose husbands passed away maybe 10, 20 years ago, and they're looking for love again, and they end up giving their life savings away. But this doesn't just happen to women. Men can be victims to romance scams too. Well, let's tune into this clip and let's see what happens.
My father, he's 75 and has lived alone for a couple decades, fell victim to a romance scam.
Uh-oh.
And he funneled every dollar he had into it.
Oh, gosh.
And my brother and I, we ultimately did an intervention with him and, you know, cut off that hemorrhaging. But now he's just in a rough place. He barely has a couple dollars to his name, just living pension check to pension check, barely taking care of
the
bills.
How much did he funnel into it?
About $150.
Ooh.
Can I tell you something? This is the second call that we've taken on this in the last 2 weeks. I was on the last time, John, when a lady called in, and it happened to her mother.
Oh, gosh.
This is the catfishing. It's unbelievable. Such an awful scam. So how can we help? What do you think is the biggest challenge, or where do you think we can try to give you some practical wisdom here?
So, it's super difficult, at least for me. I get super wound up in my own head because one, I'm involved, you know, and it's very difficult for me to separate, you know, logic from emotion and everything. I think problem number one is the enormous amount of distrust and tension in the family presently, and that goes both directions.
Oh.
This has taken place over the period of about a year. And you know, it started out, hey, I met somebody. The question was, well, where, you know, I'm happy for you. Congratulations. And then it's like Instagram. And, you know, from moment number one, I'm like, okay, slow your roll.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a little bit cautionary. And then that was immediately met with like, well, why aren't you happy for me?
Right.
You know, so that's the kind of distrust that has been from moment number one.
Yep.
For the entire year, my attitude was, please slow down. Don't do this.
Wow.
This is a tough one because there seems to be some type of intervention that occurred. And he talked about this here, so I don't want to just basically repeat what he said. I want to give you some new and fresh information about a situation like this. And this is very unique. You know, like, well, he did all the right things, right? He involved his family and they told him it was a scam. They caught it very early. So why did he still do it, right? I'm going to give you something here. There's a thing in psychology and also behavioral finance called the sunken cost fallacy. And basically what this is that since you paid so much into something, you continue to pay into it, hoping that it's going to pay off. So instead of just cutting your losses and leaving, you continue to put more and more and more money in it. To give you a very realistic type of example, let's say you go to Las Vegas, and we already know in Las Vegas, the odds are against us. So if you're not going for fun and you think you're going to go beat the crap tables or you're going to beat the casino, the odds are very against you the longer that you play. Let's just say that. The sunken cost fallacy works like this. You and your friends go to Las Vegas for the weekend. You take $2,000 with you to go gamble and go to have fun. You call it money that you saved up to, you know, because you deserved it. You work so hard. That's fine. Well, you go to Vegas and you start losing $100, $200, $300. Then all of a sudden, maybe you win $500. You're like, oh, I'm doing really good. I'm going to keep playing. And this plays out, let's just say, for the course of the weekend. At the end of the weekend, you're down to your last $200 or $100 from your initial two. You're like, well, I don't know. I'm already here. I might as well just spend these last $200. That's the sunken cost fallacy. Like, listen, I've already spent $1,800. I spent the last 2 days here. Why not just spend these last $200? Because it's $200. Don't just throw it into the slot machine or the closest machine that you can find and just blow the money. This is what's happening to this man here. He gave the money away. He realizes it's a scam. His son is reaching out to him saying, listen, Dad, this is a scam. But he's invested so much time into this romance. He's like, I want this to pay out and I'm going to give all the time and attention it needs to blossom into what I believe it was based on what they were telling me. Right? These scammers know what to say to you and how long to say it to you. I mean, when you're in a very vulnerable situation, they know what words to say and who to pitch you against. They'll tell you, oh, your loved one doesn't love you and that I love you more, or that, oh, this is not going to work out. And oh, how dare they do that? And they're criticizing you. Of course I'm real. Of course I love you. Of course we're going to be this beautiful thing. But that's not reality, brothers and sisters. No one can promise no problems. It doesn't work that way. No matter how good someone is, no matter how attractive they are, they could not promise a perfect life. It may alleviate you of the current tension that you're feeling in your life, and whether it's financially or romantically, but sooner or later, you are going to develop different problem sets that you are not accustomed to. What happens is, in our minds, we think, well, I have a good life, but there's only this one problem. This person solves this one problem. So I'm gonna go to this person and I can still have the good life that I have. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way, because once you move over to the new person, there are going to be new problems that you're going to encounter, and there's other positive things you are going to lose, things that we typically take for granted. And that's why we always say you should be content with what you have and not necessarily complacent. Still want to grow, still want to nurture, but at the same time, to think that this person is going to be your perfect romance for the rest of your life and everything's going to be better may not always be the case. So let's keep going.
He didn't trust that you had his best interest at heart.
No, he did not at all. And for an entire year, I was basically yelling at him, please, please stop. This isn't good.
Does he acknowledge now that he has actually been scammed? Because the call we got last week, the mom was still believing that
it was
bad. Is he in a place of realization now that he in fact did get scammed?
I don't think it's 100%. I think he's majority there, but for example, he still communicates with these people and has not shut them off.
That's exactly what the last call was like.
So is it, can I get clarity? Is it a person that he thought he was maybe dating? Has he ever met these people in person?
No, never. From all the details, and I have plenty of details, I'm an open book, so I'll provide whatever, and also keep me on track, because this was a very, very organized thing. All the transfers were non-traceable through gift cards or cryptocurrency. Believe these people are U.S. based at all.
Yeah.
They use encrypted Chinese chat programs.
Oh my gosh.
I think it was called
Dangy. And this doesn't ring any bells. Here's the thing. I'm not trying to be ugly, but you've got to be really lonely, I think, to get to this point where it's this glaringly obvious and you're still clinging on to it.
Yeah, Jade is really on to something. You really have to be lonely, but at the same time, you really don't. Loneliness to me is not a degree. You're either lonely or you feel like you're comforted and you have someone in your life. I don't really think there's a large degree or variances for being lonely. Once you have that feeling, it's almost like depression. It's like when you're depressed, it's just either you're depressed or you're not. Loneliness, I mean, obviously it could be different types of loneliness. Like maybe you miss your child, or maybe you miss your parents or something like that. But as far as loneliness, I mean, if you even experience loneliness or what true loneliness is, you understand like it's hard. It's hard to overcome something like that. We actually did a story where a lady was scammed by a Bitcoin scam, almost like this. It's exactly the same thing. They had to put money on gift cards and then this cryptocurrency. And then, like I said, it's untrackable. And everyone's talking about how great, you know, cryptocurrency is and how you control your money. It's not controlled by the government. And look at this. We have all these people losing their life savings because they're going through crypto where it's not traceable. Once the money's gone, the money's gone. But if you did it through the system, we might be able to track a few things, right? But I didn't want to get off track. I just want to make that point that Loneliness is real. We talk about post-retirement depression all the time. So when you're retiring, you're cutting off the people that you work with, the people you see 8 hours a day. Sometimes there are 10, 20 people in the office that you build this relationship with because you just spent so much time with them, and you cut that off for retirement. Now you're all alone. Maybe you have a spouse. Your kids are all grown up. They may be in a different state. And if you don't have friends outside of work, they're still working and you're at home trying to figure out how are you going to build a connection. And sometimes that can get lonely, especially if you lose a spouse or something like that. It really can get lonely. So what we encourage is to build your network of individuals. And studies have shown the more authentic connections that you actually have, the increase in happiness in retirement.
So I think
have you notified law enforcement?
I have done everything in my power. The only organization that would take a report from me was the FBI, and I did indeed lodge that. But in terms of any local or state law enforcement, they've told me straight up that they cannot accept anything from me on behalf of another person.
Got it.
Right?
So he has to be the one that says something and tries to, because these guys are so organized, you can almost kiss that money goodbye. And so if I'm in your situation, you've got to get to a point where you're going to need some support and help to have an intervention here.
Yeah.
Just for those who are listening, you can actually do an elderly abuse report. You could just Google elderly abuse in your city. They should have a number for you to be able to make that report. Just to let you know that if they call them and they said, no, there's not a problem, it makes it very difficult. But at least you've opened the case and you've done like this guy does. He's reported to the FBI as far as the scam is concerned. But maybe with the elderly abuse, they can talk to him. Maybe just somebody outside the situation, maybe somebody else that he may trust. I don't know. I'm just throwing things out there. If you know better than I do, or if you've had experience with this, or you had a loved one online thinking that somebody was their lover or something like that, and they end up getting catfished or something, maybe you just put in the comments, you know, what lessons we can learn or some of the avenues that we can take in order to prevent this from happening.
Because he still thinks he's going to get a return on this money. Is that right?
Yeah.
So the original scam, I think that ship has sailed in his own mind.
Okay.
I think he believes that it's all gone. So I don't think he's clinging to the original idea, but now we're in this weird zone where he's avoiding me and he's not straightforward to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll ask him, you know,
he's probably ashamed.
Are you still talking to these?
Right. Yeah.
He's probably ashamed, but
I can understand that.
The question is, going forward, you said he's, you know, spend $150,000 on this. All he has is his pension. How much is that, by the way? What does he get every month?
I think it's maybe on the underside of $3,000 a month.
Are you concerned that he's not going to be able to sustain himself?
I think that should be enough to continue his quality of life.
Okay.
Wow. Try Kinder Bueno for free.
You know what happens when you become very comfortable with the pause? All of your non-words and your filler words, meaning all the...
So this is really how do I repair the relationship? It's not a financial question at this point, yeah?
Well, it is financial as well. Again, he's not straightforward with me about
what
he do with his money. And
John.
Hello?
John, listen.
Yes.
It's not a financial thing. That's why Jay's asking that. You can't do anything about this. The only hope you have of giving him some financial advice is to restore the relationship. That's why Jay's asking that. Yeah. I mean, I hate to tell you this. There's very little you can do. I think you have two options. I think it's either a super tough love. I don't know if you've got any siblings. If you did, it's a all hands on deck, come to Jesus. Yeah. We are having a living room fallout, and we're going to take a stand and say, you need to know the facts, and then wash our hands and walk away. Does not, by the way, the come to Jesus meeting doesn't have to be ugly. There's no yelling or screaming, but it has to be a confrontational situation. Mm-hmm. The other option is you're on your knees praying, and you are just trying to restore the relationship with the hopes that he sees that you respect him still and love him, and then he maybe allows some type of help. I don't know what else to say on that.
I'll add a third option. I would write a letter maybe, because sometimes when you talk in person, things get lost or people are filtering it through tone or whatever.
True.
But maybe sitting down and just writing a heartfelt letter and just saying how you feel, saying what you hope And that way it's something he can go back to and read again and keep a copy for yourself, put a copy for him. And that way, even if you start to feel some type of way, you can go back and say, oh, no, I've already said it. I wrote the letter, you know, and it's just kind of that. It'll help keep you steady to know I've already said this.
Yeah. Brothers and sisters, this is a very tough situation to be in. And I think there is something financial that's an issue here that the caller is scared of. Maybe the host didn't hear it, but he said it is financial. And they're like, no, no, it's not. It's emotional. And you need to repair the relationship. I get that 100%. But I'm in the head of the caller who's saying, yes, he has a pension for a little less than $3,000. I'm not worried if this money is going to sustain his lifestyle, and you know, until he gets older. I think it's enough money. That's not the problem. My fear is that he's going to continue to spend this money to these scammers. What can I do to protect him? Because if he gives away the pension money, now he's going to be in a situation where he is not going to be able to survive. So right now, yes, he lost the money. You can kiss it goodbye, $150,000 down the drain, right? But he still got a decent pension, which is great. But if he gives that pension away, he gives that check every, you know, 2 weeks or every month or however many times that he gets it, what's that going to leave him? You know, brothers and sisters, this is what we talk about, behavior issues and financial planning. Now, we talk about the financial five. You talk about your financial advisor, your lawyer, your accountant, your power of attorney, and your executor. These people are here to support you through your financial decisions. But if they come on, or if you get your financial five after the damage is already done, yes, that was a year ago when he said he met someone, but how long were they talking before? Some of these scams can last 2, 3, 4 months before anybody's even notified. And he's lucky his father even told him about the scam, because a majority of these scammers tell you, don't talk to anybody. I call it the 3-step process to scamming. First is the temptation, meaning, hey, you get to meet this beautiful girl. You won't be lonely. It's the alleviation of that feeling, of that lonely feeling that you have, to get back to where you used to be before, you know, your spouse passed away or whatever it may be. That's the temptation. Then you get the isolation, where they're calling you and they're texting you and they're telling you not to talk to anybody. I've seen scams where they even tell you to sign a non-disclosure agreement, right? It is very scary what these people are doing to isolate you in your home. Or they'll pick someone who is already isolated, someone who doesn't have any kids. Hey, tell me about your kids. I don't have any, you know, I was lonely, or my spouse passed away. These are good targets. Then the violation. Then they take advantage of you. Then they start having you go into these gift cards and these Bitcoin scams, and then they wipe you out. And once you're gone, the story is still the same. They stop communicating with you. It's all over. And the person is so hurt. They're just trying to reach out to that person. Please, please be real. Don't let this be true. Don't let this be true. But sadly, it is. So if we are going to go through the situation, we need to have people in our corner before this happens, before we get emotionally involved, before we start doing things outside of character, and say, hey, is this appropriate? Is this working? And if not, we need to make some changes. So brothers and sisters, this is not the first scam. I actually have a whole playlist that goes over the different scams, because they're the same scam, but they're in different ways. And I want you to be aware of them, because they're social security scams. There's these romance scams called pig butchering, where they'll butter you up. They'll tell you all these good things about how beautiful you look and how great it would be to be with them and how your life would be changed. And you live in your imagination. Your body can't distinguish between what's imagined and what's real. That's why sometimes when we remember things, we remember them as if they were real, but sometimes the details we make up in our head. We see the video like, oh, that didn't happen at all, or that person wasn't there at all, or they didn't say that. Those are the things that occur with some of these scams. So we really have to be on our toes. And as I said before, there's different ones. There's mail scams. You know, people are sending letters and hope that you sign over some checks. There's wire fraud, all kinds of things, sweepstakes scams, all these different types. And I have a whole playlist. They'll probably be at the end screen somewhere like that. But if you like information like this, where I actually help you through the process, not just of investing and growing your stocks. I'm a certified private wealth advisor professional. I have over a decade of experience. It's not the math that a lot of people have trouble with, because that's what they come to me for. What they have trouble with is the mentality. It's the behaviors that they need in order to be wealthy. This behavior is not going to make you wealthy. When you're giving your money to scammers every other week or whatever it may be, that is not going to build wealth. So you can spend your whole life doing the right thing in 401ks and IRAs, and that's great. And that's what I do. So if you need help with that, I can help you. But you also need to change your behavior. And that's why we say you need to read your Bible. You really need to get into the scriptures and make sure that, listen, if you would have gotten married and says, hey, I'm not talking to this woman until I marry her or I meet her in real life, then that's just down the scam. Say, hey, listen, if you want to date me, we need to see in real life. We need to talk. We need to get to know each other, and we need to do it the right way. But if you're not living like that, if you don't feel that that's okay, look what happens. So brothers and sisters, that's going to be it for me. I don't want to make this video too long. If you like this video, make sure that you subscribe. Once again, see some of our other videos and protect your loved ones, because it can happen to them. But most importantly, it can happen to you too. Well, that's it for me. My name is AB Ridgeway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing.